The family liaison I've been meeting with, who's helping me communicate better with the administration at Lincoln. I was putting my plate in the dishwasher. Something in her voice, suddenly defensive, made me shut it slowly, quietly. Yes, I did, Peyton. Several times, in fact. She took out another can, but this one she just held. No, I do remember that discussion, but you said you would be ready eventually, which is why you did the form, and I thought this would be a great opportunity. Distantly, I could hear my brother talking. A lot. I'm fully aware of that, she said after a moment, so abruptly it was obvious she was having to interrupt. Then, because I don't agree that it means we should abandon you or not acknowledge your accomplishments, and I picked up my backpack, pretty sure it was time to make my exit. Well, that's not what Michelle thinks, and it's not what I believe either. She put the can down on the counter with a thunk. Well, I hope that you do. I think that if you really take the time to look at it. Another interruption from Peyton, louder this time. I think maybe we should table this for now. You're clearly upset, and I watched as she reached up, putting a hand to her face. Okay. Yes. Fine. Talk to you later. The phone beeped off, and I heard her exhale. Not sure what to do, I turned to the window, slipping my backpack over my shoulders, then looked out at the street. A beat passed. Another. Then she left the room, her footsteps padding upstairs. For all I knew, this was how many of their exchanges ended, as I usually made myself scarce when they talked. But it had been a while since I'd heard my mom upset, and I wondered if I should go to her. I didn't have the right words or even know what those might be. So instead, I put away the rest of the groceries. That way, when she came back down, at least one thing would be just how she wanted it. Listen up, Eric announced. I have big news. I was the only one who looked at him. Eric was a fan of both announcements and pronouncements. Never just information. Always an exclusive. Everyone else had been around long enough to know not to fall for his conversational hype.
Is this about the señorita?
Irv asked. Eric looked at him.
Who?
Mac on the bench, eating a Quaker and doing his history homework, swallowed.
The girl from your Spanish group? The one you're sure is obsessed with you? Oh, no.
Eric flipped his hand, señorita forgotten.
Bigger. This is about the band.
Now, at least, he had Mac's attention, if not everyone else's.
The band?
Eric, smiling, slid onto the end of the bench where I was sitting.
Well, it's kind of about Layla, but also the band.
Huh? Layla asked from my other side. As always, she had her phone in her hand, determined not to miss a possible midday texting opportunity with Spence. Cell phones were banned on the W. Hunt campus, and yet, more days than not, at this time, he still managed to contact her. What about me? Now that Eric had the floor, he was determined to keep it as long as possible. So we all had to watch as he pulled a paper flyer from his pocket, then unfolded it slowly before holding it up.
We're going to enter this, and you're going to help us.
Local Yokels, a showcase, it said in large black type. 5 bands, 1 prize. Accepting acts now. BendoVenue.com/locals for details.
That's the big news?
Mac asked.
We've done showcases before.
This isn't just a showcase, Eric told him. It's a competition with a record demo deal as a prize.
What does that have to do with me, though? Layla asked.
I'll tell you,
A pause. Mac looked at me, then sighed as we waited for him to do just that. Finally.
You're our secret weapon.
Since when? She said.
Since I did my research and realized how few of the groups around here have girl singers, or girls at all for that matter. Everyone's like us, totally dude-centric. With you up front, we'll stand out. Better our chances.
Wait a second. Layla put down her phone, which meant she was serious. Are you saying that you're going to let me sing lead? Because that does not sound like you. Unless you have a head injury I missed.
I resent that implication, Eric protested. I am a team player all the way.
Irv laughed out loud at this.
Mac said, What's the catch?
There isn't one. I want to win, Eric said. Anyway, Layla wouldn't be singing lead. She'd solo on one new song in between two of our standards. So I'm a guest vocalist?
You're a member of the band, just like everyone else.
Except that I'm not, she told him.
But they, Eric said, shaking the paper at her, don't know that, nor do they need to. We win this, get the deal, and then record what we want.
I don't know, she said, picking up her phone again. I'm not much into the singing thing lately. Eric just looked at her.
You have to help us.
Actually, I don't. She scrolled down, tapping her finger on the screen. Ask Rosie. She's got the voice anyway.
I don't want Rosie. I want you.
Now he had all of our attention. It didn't matter that he was ostensibly still talking about the band. The fact that Eric still pined for her months after their short relationship and ensuing breakup was as much known to the rest of us as his ego and penchant for showboating. This was the first time I was aware of, though, that he'd said anything close to it aloud. He realized it, too. Color was already flooding his face.
You're assuming we'll be ready, Mac said, breaking the awkward silence that followed. We only just got back to a regular practice schedule. We don't even have a name.
It's three songs, Eric said, and only one new one.
When's the tryout?
No tryout. They want a recording.
What? Mac shook his head. Then this is a moot point anyway.
Why?
Because we don't have one, or any way of paying to produce one?
It can't cost that much.
It's not cheap.
Well, I've got some birthday money.
You work.
And I bet Ford's parents might chip in. He trailed off, though, obviously less sure of this aspect of the plan. Layla, who had gone back to her phone, gave him a sympathetic look. The bell rang then, and we all started gathering our stuff together. Eric remained on the bench, glum as everyone else got up to head off in their different directions.
There'll be another showcase, Irv said, clapping him on the shoulder. With an audition, I promise.
Yeah, yeah, Eric said, shrugging. I grabbed my bag, then started, slowly, toward the steps that led up to the arts building, where my next class was. Mac's sixth period was in the same direction, so he joined me, and we started climbing the stairs. Eric, who had a free sixth, was still on the bench, his guitar case at his feet. Poor guy, I said. He's like a kid who just dropped his ice cream cone.
He'll survive, he replied, and maybe it will inspire him to get a job, too. Then we'd have money for a demo.
They're really that expensive? He shifted his bag up his shoulder.
The demo itself isn't. Studio time is where it gets pricey.
All through the ecology lecture that followed, and the calc test after that, I forgot about this entire exchange. In my final period, my English teacher, Ms. Feldman, was saying something about metaphors when a thought occurred to me. Some way that I might actually be able to help them for once. That afternoon, when I got to Seaside after the final bell, I was the one with a plan.
"Hold on," Max said. "You have a recording studio in your house?"
"A partial one," I told him. "My parents were building it for my brother." "Oh my God, that's right," Layla said, turning away from the front window, where she was in her customary spot, waiting for Spence to pull up. "And I've been there. How did I forget that?" "Well," I told her, "it was kind of a weird night." She thought for a second, then, "Oh, right. Yeah, I blocked it out for sure." Mac looked at me.
"What, it's haunted or something?"
"Not exactly," she said. "That guy was there, her brother's friend, remember?"
"Oh," he looked at me. "Right. The creeper."
I hadn't thought it was possible to like him more. I was wrong. I said, "I'm sure it would be okay. It's not like anyone ever uses it."
"We'd still need someone to engineer the demo, though," Max said.
"Isn't that what Eric spent the whole summer doing last year at that camp?" Layla said. "He certainly came back seeming like he could do it."
"We're talking about Eric here. He acts like he can do everything."
"Just text him and ask." Mac pulled out his phone, then looked at me.
"You sure this is okay? Because if I mention it to him, he'll be like a dog with a bone. He will not let go of things, even when he should."
Just then, a big black SUV pulled up at the curb. "Spence is here," Layla called out to us and her dad, who was in the kitchen. "I'm going."
"Back by 5:30,
said Mr. Chatham. 6 at the latest, she replied, then darted out before he could object. Mac watched her climb into the passenger seat, an expression of suspicion on his face. According to Layla, he was like this with all her boyfriends, way too overprotective and biased from first glance. I could see that, but she had been pushing limits a bit since Spence was around more after school, showing up late, then a bit later, being evasive, even to me, about where they'd gone or what they'd done. If I was noticing it, I knew Mac had too. "I'll ask my parents, but I'm sure it will be fine," I said to him as they pulled away. "And I want to help you guys out."
"You don't have to," he told me.
"I know." I nodded at his phone. "Just text him. Give the dog a bone." Of course, Eric maintained he could handle everything if he had a studio and suggested we try for the next day, or, barring that, the coming weekend. All that was left was getting official permission, and how hard could that be? I walked into the kitchen 2 hours later. Usually by 6, my mom had her customary one glass of wine poured, dinner well underway, and her typical questions about my day ready. Today, she was nowhere in sight. I put down my bag, then headed upstairs to the war room. The door was half shut, and I could hear her talking. "I just feel like something else is going on," she was saying. "He's been so easily upset the last few times we've talked, and he doesn't want to discuss anything. And then there's the graduation." She fell silent as whoever was on the other end of the line spoke. Downstairs, my dad was coming in the front door. "I did read that the 3-month mark can be a transitional one, something about the newness wearing off with so much sentence left to do." Another pause. "Well, that does make sense. Peyton was never good at discussing his feelings. I blame that, in fact, for a lot of his troubles. If he'd only been able to be honest about the pain he was in."
"Julie?" My dad's voice came up the stairs. "Are you up there?"
I walked over to the landing. "She's on the phone."
"Oh."
He looked back at the kitchen, clearly wondering about dinner, too.
Okay.
Goodness, is that the time? My mom said as she came out of the room. Spotting me, she gave a tired smile.
I don't know where the afternoon went.
I guess we'd better try to pull together something to eat, huh? I nodded, then followed her down to the kitchen, where my dad was uncapping a beer.
Long day?
He asked her. Epic, she replied, walking to the fridge and opening it. Now let's see. I was going to make a pork shoulder before I got distracted. I think I have some chicken in here.
Or we could do delivery.
My dad, who never met a takeout box he didn't like, suggested. We could, she agreed. She shut the door, then looked at me. What about pizza? The place Sydney took me was delicious. They deliver, yes? Yeah, I said, surprised. Sure. Perfect. What do you think, Peyton? One large half deluxe, half Roma?
How about one large deluxe and one large Roma? My dad suggested. I'll take the leftovers for lunch tomorrow.
This was hardly a surprise. My dad would eat pizza at any time of day or night, and had a seemingly endless appetite when it came to doing so. Leftover slices never lasted in our fridge, even if you set them aside especially, with your name on them. I knew this from experience. Fine, my mom said. Make the call. I did, and Mr. Chatham answered.
Sydney, long time no see. If you're calling for Layla, she's not here. Half hour late and counting, again.
Uh-oh, I thought. I actually need to place an order.
Yeah?
He sounded pleased.
Great. What can I get you?
I told him what we wanted. He took my mom's card number, then said he'd throw in some garlic knots, even when I told him it wasn't necessary, and that I'd see Mac in 20 minutes. After we hung up, I went and brushed my hair, changed my shirt, and put on some lip gloss. When I came back downstairs, my dad looked at me.
What's the occasion?
Nothing, I said, as my mom looked over as well. I just felt gross from school.
Pretty fancy for pizza,
he observed, picking up the paper from that morning and flipping through it. I think she looks nice, my mom said and smiled at me. I rolled my eyes. It was a small moment, but right then it felt so wonderfully normal that I wished I could tuck it away in my pocket. Me and my parents, pizza on a weeknight, just your typical family, at least for a few minutes. Maybe it was because of this that I decided right then to bring up using the recording studio. So, Mom, I have a favor to ask.
Okay, she said. What is it?
Well, Layla's brother, Mac, you met him at the pizza place.
Yes, I remember.
He's in this band, and they need to record a demo tape for the showcase they're hoping to get. I was wondering if they could maybe use the studio downstairs. She looked at my dad, who was now scanning the sports page.
I don't see why not.
Really?
I said.
For all we put into it, seems like someone should use it. Don't you think, Peyton?
Absolutely,
my dad replied in such a way that I knew right off he hadn't been listening.
Oh, that's great, I said. Thank you, seriously.
She looked at me, surprised, and smiled.
You're welcome.
Just then the phone rang. Thinking it might be Seaside calling back with a question about the order, I grabbed it right up.
Hello?
This is a collect call from an inmate at Lincoln Correctional Facility. Do you accept the charges?
Yes,
I said, then waited for the buzz and the click.
Peyton?
At his name, my mom looked over, immediately alert, invested.
Hi, my brother said. What's going on?
Not much, I told him. Dinner?
Is Mom around?
Yeah, hold on. She was already beside me, her hand ready to take the phone. When I gave it to her, she ran a hand over my hair before putting it to her ear.
Hey there, how are you? Getting excited for graduation?
As she walked across the room, My dad opened the fridge, scanning the contents, and took a sip of his beer. I glanced at my watch. It had been 10 minutes. Soon Mac would arrive, and I could not only tell him about the studio, but also introduce him to my dad. After so long feeling disjointed and out of step, things seemed to be falling into place. Once I might have taken this for granted, but now I knew to not only notice, but savor it, which was probably a mistake. "Honestly, I just don't know where this is coming from," my mom said. It had only been a moment since I'd last heard her voice, but in that time, it had gone from easygoing to tight, high. My dad, hearing it too, looked at her.
"I thought we already discussed this."
A pause as Peyton spoke.
"Because it's an accomplishment and it should be recognized. And all the liaisons in literature say that..."
She stopped short. Now she was interrupted.
"Well, I disagree. And I think the other families would as well."
"Julie," my dad said, "what's going on?"
She put up her hand, palm out.
"I just don't understand why you're doing this to us."
"What?"
"I disagree. I'm an involved parent, Peyton, and all I want..."
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a blur outside. When I turned to the window, Mac was pulling into the driveway.
"Well, I can't talk to you when you're like this," my mom said, shaking her head. "You won't even let me..."
My dad walked over, putting out his hand.
"Give me the phone."
She shook her head. Outside, Mac was getting out of the truck.
"Julie."
My dad put a hand on her shoulder. Then, gently, he reached over, taking the receiver away from her. He put it to his ear, then said,
"Peyton, it's me. What's this all about?"
My mom had tears in her eyes as she leaned against the counter, watching him as my brother responded. When the doorbell rang a moment later, I was pretty sure I was the only one who heard it. Minutes earlier, all I'd wanted was to bring Mac inside and introduce him. Now, though, seeing him standing there with the warmer in one hand and a paper bag in the other, I wished I could step out and leave with him.
"Hey,"
he said. He held up the bag.
"Hope you're in the mood for garlic knots. My dad sent like an entire batch."
Before I could answer, his eyes shifted, following something behind me. I turned just in time to see my mom taking the stairs two at a time.
"Great,"
I said, stepping back.
"Come on in."
He did, following me into the kitchen, where my dad was just then hanging up the phone. His back was to me as he said,
"Your mother is, upset. She..."
"Pizza's here," I said quickly. My dad turned and saw us.
"Oh, right."
"Dad, this is Mac," I said. "He's a friend of mine from school."
"Nice to meet you,"
Mac told him, putting down the warmer on the table and offering his hand.
"And you as well,"
my dad said. They shook.
"I hear this pizza's pretty great."
"It is," I said. "You're going to love it." Upstairs, a door shut. It wasn't quite a slam, but we could hear it.
"So," my dad said, pulling out his wallet. "What do I owe you?"
"I put it on the card," I told him. The total was $23.42. He took out a five and a couple of ones, handing them to Mac.
"For you, then." "Thank you."
"So my parents said it was okay," I said, glancing at my dad, "for you guys to use the studio."
"Really?"
Mac said.
"Wow. That's awesome. Eric's going to go bananas."
"Eric's the lead singer," I explained to my dad. "Mac plays drums."
"Great,"
my dad replied, clearly distracted.
"I'm, going to check on your mom. Set the table, okay? Nice to meet you, Mac."
"You too."
As he went upstairs, I walked over to the cabinet and took down some plates, even though I was pretty sure we wouldn't be having a typical family sit-down.
My brother just called, I said. He's mad about something. That's why my mom's upset.
Oh, he said. Sorry.
It's not like it's that big a deal, but we were having a good night, you know, for once.
He said nothing to this as I put the plates on the counter. Upstairs, I heard another door shut.
I asked them about the studio, and they were great about it, and you were coming over.
I swallowed, opening the napkin drawer.
I'm just so tired of this, of him being everything.
Mac just watched me as I moved to the silverware. As I counted out 3 forks, I felt like I was going to cry.
And then, just like that, I was.
Not just tears pricking my eyes, or that slow throb in your throat that gives you enough warning to breathe and maybe get under control. Instead, instantly, I just found myself sobbing. Chest heaving, nose running, making noises that sounded almost primal. I gripped the edge of the countertop, dropping my head, and tried to suck in some air and calm down. It was just occurring to me that I should be embarrassed when I felt Mac's hands on my shoulders.
Hey, he said. His palms were warm.
It's okay. It's okay, Sydney.
But it wasn't. Nothing had been okay. Not for a long time. In every moment that I thought I was getting close, like the one I'd had earlier, seemed to remind the universe that I didn't deserve that. Not yet. What was due me, then? Only tiny seconds where things felt right, just fleeting enough to make me crave more? Was that it? I was beginning to think so, that I just couldn't get what I wanted, that maybe I didn't even have any idea what that was. But as Mac turned me to face him, and I looked up into his eyes, I realized I was wrong. So I took a single step, 1 foot, then the other. And then his arms wrapped around me, pulling me in the rest of the way.
Chapter 16. Peyton didn't want me at his graduation. Actually, he didn't want any of us there. But my mom was only willing to compromise so much.
It's not that he doesn't want to see you or that he doesn't miss you, she'd explained the next morning. He'd just prefer that you not interact with him in that setting yet.
I thought that might have changed by now, but it hasn't.
It's actually a very common sentiment among the incarcerated when it comes to family, children in particular. She was speaking slowly, carefully picking her words.
What a difference 12 hours made.
The last time I'd seen her, she'd been disappearing upstairs in tears.
This morning, she was at the coffee pot, calm, rested, and capable. She was also clearly concerned about how I'd take this news, somehow having forgotten that I'd never wanted to go in the first place.
I understand, I said. It's fine. She was still watching me as I took a bite of my breakfast. Suddenly, my welfare was very important, which would have been nice had I not known the real reason she was suddenly so invested. By focusing on Peyton's not wanting me to go, she could skirt the wider truth of how he really felt about having her there. My mom had always been good at narrowing an issue.
As I told you, she continued, Peyton's time at Lincoln will be marked by a series of transitions. It's very possible that his emotional need for us will at some point manifest itself in his feeling like he has to pull away. So the key is that we allow him to do what he thinks is necessary, while at the same time making clear that we are here and not going anywhere. My dad, who was getting a rare late start to the office, walked into the kitchen, adjusting his tie. He'd already eaten, but still stopped by the eggs on the stove, picking out a bite with his fingers.
"So you're all still going?" I asked. "To the graduation?"
"Your father and I will go. We'll ask Ames and Marla to stay here with you. That's probably the best plan."
"I don't need anyone here with me, though," I said quickly. "I mean, it's only one night."
"It's already arranged," she told me, glancing at my dad. "Right?"
"I mentioned it to him last night."
He wiped his hand on a dish towel.
"Apparently things with Marla have cooled, but he's happy to do it."
"Really?"
My mom looked at him.
"I had no idea. He hasn't said a thing to me about their breaking up."
Considering how much he and my mom talked, this was kind of surprising. But I had learned not to put much past Ames.
"He didn't sound too upset about it,"
my dad said now, eating another piece of egg.
"Anyway, he's got to work that night, but he's going to try to get off early."
"He shouldn't do that," I said, apparently too adamantly, as they both looked at me, surprised. "I'll be fine." "Sydney, we've had this conversation before. I don't want you here alone," my mom said. "Ames stayed with you last time and it worked out well, didn't it?"
"I'll stay at Layla's," I said, instead of answering her.
"On a school night?"
"No."
She sat back. "Frankly, with all the time you've been over there and at their pizza place, I worry we've overimposed as it is."
"Let me invite her here, then." I thought for a second.
"Actually, we could use the studio that evening. That way you guys wouldn't even be bothered with it." She blinked at me.
"The studio? Peyton's studio?"
"Yeah," I said as she looked at my dad, who shrugged.
"You said that Mac's band could use it to record."
"Mac," she repeated, like she was trying to jog a distant, faded memory.
"I don't... Layla's brother, my friend?"
I turned to my dad.
"You met him last night. I asked if his band could use the studio to record this demo, and you guys said yes."
"Oh, Sydney, I don't know," my mom said. "Even if Peyton was okay with that, and really, we'd have to ask him. It couldn't happen with us out of town."
"But you said..."
"Then I spoke without thinking," she told me, looking at my dad again.
"Or we did.
The bottom line is, until this graduation thing is over, I really can't focus on anything else."
"It's not just anything," I said. "It's my thing. My friends."
I could tell I'd surprised them. I'd always accepted being second in importance. It was my place in the pecking order. But when it came to this, to Mac, I was ready to fight. Like finally I felt I had a real reason. It would have been better if it had been for me, myself. But I'd still take it.
"You didn't even know these people 3 months ago," my mom said.
"I find it hard to believe they're suddenly more important than family."
"Mom,
we're not talking about this anymore," she said, rising from her seat and pushing her chair in. "We will go support your brother because he needs us, whether he's choosing at this moment to admit it or not. After that, we can talk about everything else." She walked to the coffee maker, her back to me as she refilled her mug. My dad watched her go, then gave me a sympathetic look. But once again, he didn't do anything. Like this was her job. It was decided, and he couldn't go over her head, as much as I wished he would. Even though this was the way it always went, I felt a flush of anger rise in me, unexpected and unprecedented. Something had changed. Before, she'd grouped me within anything else, Now, everything. I'd always been the other, the one not Peyton. I'd come to accept it. But finally, I'd met people who saw me differently. Now that I'd been real and first to someone, I never wanted to be invisible again.
So what I'm thinking, Eric said, is that we start strong with a Logan Oxford, end big with that 6 of 1 with my solo. We'll put Layla doing vocals on another one in the middle to shake things up.
Yeah, but which one?
Mac asked, peeling another clementine. He had Irv's phone disassembled in front of him, replacing the shattered screen, a result of its being sat on. Just looking at all the tiny screws made my head hurt.
It's not like we have anything rehearsed with her.
It's not complicated. It's pop music, Eric told him. And she knows all these songs already. It's just a matter of picking one with the perfect meaning.
You just said it's simple, though,
said Irv, who was finishing off what was by my count his 3rd chicken leg.
So how can it have meaning?
That's where the irony comes in, Eric sighed. Yet again, none of us were keeping up. I'm going to pick a song that is clearly from a guy's point of view, then turn it on its head, both with the original arrangement. I'm thinking acoustic, maybe, and having a girl singer.
We, Max said quietly, picking up another screw. We will pick a song.
Right, right, Eric replied, flipping his hand. Consensus rules, but let's be honest. I'm the one who's really driving the depth of our message.
Depth of your message?
Irv repeated, then laughed out loud.
Man, you're outdoing even yourself right now.
Beside me, Mac laughed too, and I forced a smile, trying to join in. I hadn't yet figured out how exactly to break the news that my parents were not actually okay with the band using the studio. So I hadn't. Instead, just sitting there, getting more and more anxious as they made their plans to do just that. I wasn't the only one out of sorts. Even though she was partly the subject of this conversation, Layla wasn't paying attention. Instead, she was focused on her phone. It was clear enough by her face she wasn't happy, but the fact that her lunch was untouched just sealed it. You okay? I asked her for the 2nd time that day. I'd bumped into her in the hallway after homeroom, just in time to see her hanging up, looking irritated. We'd both been running late and headed in opposite directions, so when she said she was fine, I'd taken her at her word. Yeah, she said, not looking at me. Just spent stuff. It's stupid. I hesitated, not sure how much to push this issue. Since she and Spence had been spending more and more time together, I'd only gotten bits and pieces from her about their relationship. I had noticed that the swooning, he's so great and sweet phase had waned. Apparently I hadn't been wrong about her perfect boyfriend having his own complicated history. After some prodding, she'd admitted to me that not only was it mandatory community service he'd recently completed, he'd been expelled from 3 schools before landing at W. Hunt. At the time they'd met, he was keeping in line and on the upswing. With people like that, though, there was always a down waiting. So what I'm leaning toward, Eric continued, is going with a Polly Prescott for Layla's song.
Polly Prescott? Was that the guy with the hair?
Irv asked.
You're going to have to be more specific, Mac told him.
The hair.
Irv reached up one hand, swooping it over his head.
Remember? Dude looked like he'd been in an air tunnel all the time.
No, that was someone else, Eric said. The other guy with the really high voice. Abe Rabe. Layla and I said at the same time. She didn't even look up. Mac raised his eyebrows, the new screen in his hand.
Wow, That wasn't weird or anything.
I smiled at him, thinking again of what had happened the night before. Despite my initial nervousness around him, when he pulled me close, it felt familiar, like we'd done it a million times. No awkwardness, no adjustments needed. I just pressed myself against his chest, the pendant on his chain against my cheek, and breathed in his smell. I knew very little for certain, but I was sure that if my father had not come back down the stairs moments later, I would have kissed him. So sure that now, sitting close but not too close, him smiling at me, it felt like I had.
Polly Prescott was the fake gangster, Eric said. Rich kid from the suburbs, who sang about his past being street. He had that whole bad boy trying to be good thing going on. Girls ate it up.
Oh, right, Irv said, wrinkling his nose. I hated that guy.
Everyone did.
Eric had no problem speaking for the world.
But that's why it's intriguing to have Layla do one of his songs. Take away the production, the facade, and shift the braggadocio to a female point of view? That's going to be deep. Epic.
Did you just use the word braggadocio? Mac asked him. Are you drunk?
Layla suddenly got to her feet, grabbed her bag, and started walking quickly toward the main building. We all just watched her go in silence. Then Irv said,
God, what'd you do, Eric?
Me?
Mac was watching me as I stood up.
You know what that was about?
No, I said, picking up my backpack, but I have a hunch. I checked the girls' bathroom first, as it was my go-to place for taking refuge, but the only people there were a group of dance team members busy doing a makeup tutorial. Out in the hallway, I thought for a second, then headed to Layla's locker, my next best bet. On the way there, I found her sitting on the stairs. When she saw me, she bit her lip. Okay, I said, joining her. What's going on? She sighed, stretching her legs out in front of her. Spence has just been into some stuff lately that he shouldn't be doing with his history, basically.
Drugs?
A slight nod. Just pot. Some pills. They make him different. But when I nag him, he gets mad, then doesn't answer my texts. Then I don't know what he's doing, which is worse.
You're not going to be able to fix him, I told her.
I know, I know. She pulled her knees to her chest. It sucks, because if I say something, he disappears. If I don't, I have to watch him sabotage himself. It's like I can't win. A couple of guys carrying instrument cases pushed past us on their way up the stairs. I said, I hate that feeling. This wasn't particularly wise of me, or enlightening, at least as far as I was concerned. But hearing it, Layla exhaled, then leaned her head on my shoulder, closing her eyes. I tried so hard, so often, to say just the right thing, only to come up short. It felt good to get it right for once, even if it was by accident.
Okay, Mac said as I climbed back into the truck. Work your magic.
I looked down at the order in my hand. 4 fettuccine alfredos, 4 salads. Someone's pretending they're cooking dinner. $5 says they already have serving dishes ready to dump this stuff into.
You're on, he said, cranking the engine.
Usually, I was confident enough about my predictions that they were accompanied by trash talk. Today, though, I just wasn't in the mood. Between knowing I'd have to tell Mac, who'd have to tell Eric, who would be crushed, about the studio being a no-go, and Layla's confession earlier, which she'd sworn me to secrecy about. There was a lot I was having to keep in.
that this meant holding back from Mac just made it worse. When the door at the house was answered by a young woman in a dress and pearls and heavy makeup, wearing a shiny diamond ring and a new-looking gold band, I could barely muster a pat on my own back, even though it was pretty cool.
"Oh, thank goodness,"
she said, untying the apron she was wearing, which said, "Kiss the cook," still sporting crease marks. Its first use, I guessed.
"My in-laws will be here in 20 minutes.
"Enjoy your meal," I told her, handing off the food. She gave me a grateful look and a big tip before shutting the door. Mac, who had been watching from the truck, just looked at me as I returned.
"Okay. I used to think this was impressive. Now it's getting sort of creepy."
I managed a smile as I got in the cab. "Leave me alone. I have few talents."
"Oh, I don't think that's true,"
he replied, shifting into reverse.
"You managed to get Layla to talk to you."
I knew he'd been waiting for me to tell him what had upset her at lunch. Because I'd made a promise, though, I only said, "That's relationship stuff. All girls have a knack for that. It's part of our genetic code."
"Really?"
"Yep." It was obvious I was dodging the issue, but thankfully he let it go, instead handing over the next order.
"Good luck with this. It's a real doozy."
I took it, glancing at the ticket. 2 large cheeses, 4 garlic knots? What's complicated about that?
"Read what it says at the bottom."
"All coop?" I asked. The word was underlined, twice. "What does that mean?" He put on his turn signal, switching lanes as we approached a light.
"All coupon. That means they have enough discounts that it's free."
"Free?" I looked at the ticket again. "How is that possible?"
"It's not supposed to be," he told me. "We run a special on Thursdays. The ad's supposed to say, if you buy cheese pizza and knots, you get a pizza and order of knots for free. But about a year ago, the copy for the ad got messed up. Badly."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning,"
he continued, turning onto a side road.
"They left off the first part and only printed the second."
I had to think for a minute. "So it said you could get a large pizza and a side of knots for free? No purchase required?"
"Yep."
That was a lot of dough, literally and figuratively. "How many were given out?"
"They were sent in the mail," he replied, "to every listed address and city limits."
"Oh my God," I said. "Your dad must have been freaking."
"He was."
He sat back, running a hand over the wheel.
"Most people would have just copped to the error and not accepted them. But he's not like that, so he still honors them. Although it makes him really grumpy."
That explained why the underlining for all coop was several shades darker than the word above it. "So this has been going on for a year?"
"We don't get many anymore. But there are a few people who, once they realized the error, made a point of collecting as many as they could get their hands on."
"And they fit a type," I said, finally getting it. He nodded, then he waited. I thought for a moment. "They're smart, resourceful, plus they had time to collect coupons and could keep them organized. That's a lot to do for free pizza, though. So they're either broke or young. Most likely both." We were approaching a street of apartment complexes now.
"Anything else?"
Mac asked me. "Boys," I told him.
"What's your reasoning there?"
"I don't have any. It's just a hunch. My second of the day so far." But this one I felt less confident about than guessing the source of Layla's issue. When Mac got out with me,
I assumed it was not only because this was an apartment, to which we always went together, but also because he wanted to see me get one wrong for once. We walked up 2 flights to a door with music thumping behind it, and he knocked. A moment later, it was opened by a skinny guy, a college student most likely, wearing a plaid shirt, jeans, and a headset.
"Seaside Pizza,"
Max said, his voice flat.
"You placed an order?"
"We did," the guy said. He glanced over his shoulder to the room behind him, where I could see 2 other guys on a couch, also in headsets, video game controllers in their hands.
"And what was the total on that?"
"You have coupons?"
The guy's smile broadened.
"You need to see them?"
"Yeah,"
Max said.
"I do."
He turned, walking over to a table that was piled with books, takeout containers, and chargers, plugged in but not charging anything. After moving a few things around, he returned.
"Here you go,"
he smiled.
"I think you'll see that says we can get 2 pizzas and 2 garlic knots for free from your fine establishment."
"Pizza,"
one of the guys, still focused on the TV, said in a robotic voice.
"Free pizza,"
his friend in front of us said. Then he looked at me.
"It just tastes better, you know?"
I didn't say anything, just stood there as Mac examined the coupons, back and front, and then pocketed them. When he nodded at me, I handed over the food. "That's $24.72 at full price," I told him, hoping at least he would tip.
"I know," he said gleefully. "It's great. Thanks."
And then he shut the door. I was so surprised I just stood there, looking at the 2B on it. But Mac was already walking away. As I caught up with him, I said, "I amend my earlier assessment. They are also assholes."
"Agreed."
He looked so annoyed. I knew to stay quiet as we started across the lot toward the truck. He pulled out his phone, glancing at it.
"No deliveries on deck. I need a break. Let's do something."
"What did you have in mind?" I asked, pulling my door open.
"We're near your neighborhood," he replied. "Want to show me that sinkhole?"
I thought of my brother on the phone, how he'd surprised me by his reaction when I'd brought this up. Like the fact that he saw the story differently, him as stupid, not superhuman, made it seem like maybe it hadn't happened at all. "Sure," I said. "Let's go." The path was more narrow than I recalled, and overgrown enough in a few places that I had to stop and bend branches back to get through. It was weird to be in the lead, as I'd always followed Peyton. After about 1/4 mile, though, the woods opened up, and Mac fell in beside me. As we climbed a ridge, a hawk soaring over us, he took my hand. His palm was warm, and my own felt small within it, protected. We didn't talk, the only sounds our footsteps as they crunched over leaves and the occasional whisper of trees swaying in the breeze. I thought of all those other afternoons walking this same path, and how different it felt now, for so many reasons. "It should be up here somewhere," I told him as we climbed another hill. "I remember this clear cut."
"Looks like they were going to build here."
"Maybe, or just cut them for logging." We navigated around a bunch of stumps covered with moss and lichen. A couple of beer bottles, half filled with dirty rainwater, sat against one of them. And then, just when I was wondering if I truly had imagined everything, I saw it, just ahead. A place where the ground opened up, wide like a mouth. We walked right up to the edge. It wasn't as vast as I remembered, and no log lay across it. But there was something familiar in the exposed roots, the layer of red clay halfway down,
the suddenness of its appearance so unexpected.
I guess it's not that impressive, I said to Mac. Not like the carousel.
I wouldn't want to walk across it, though.
I smiled. When Peyton did that, my heart was in my throat. I was sure he was going to fall and die, and I'd have to go home and tell my mom. Mac leaned over a bit more, peering down.
But he didn't.
Nope. I looked up at the blue sky over our heads. I think he had his own saint protecting him back then. Is there one for morons taking stupid risks in the woods?
I don't think so, but there are a few that can be applied pretty broadly. Like the saint of wanderers, travelers, the lost, or whatever.
He reached up, taking out his own pendant and glancing at it.
My mom's favorite is Saint Anthony, the finder of lost things. She has this rhyme she says when anything's missing. Tony, Tony, turn around. Something's lost that must be found.
Does it work? I asked.
Sometimes,
he replied, sliding the pendant back under his shirt. As always, I noticed the give in the chain, the empty length now there.
Doesn't hurt.
We stood there a moment, everything silent except the breeze blowing overhead. Looking across the hole, I had a flash of Peyton's rigid shoulders as he walked over that tree. For once he was focused not on finding the invisible place, but on having everyone's attention. It was just the beginning of that. Remember? I'd asked him on the phone that night when I'd mentioned this. Not my brightest moment. All this time I'd thought Peyton saw himself the same way I did, the way we all did. Invincible, otherworldly. But he'd known he was human long before I did. Or maybe all along. Mac turned, looking down at me.
What is it?
I knew he was asking because I'd made a noise or a face thinking this, or even just gone visibly still. But I took this inquiry wider, stretching it to include everything that had changed since that first day I walked into Seaside. The changes in me. What is it? Maybe the lives I'd glimpsed in the last hour. The sneaky geeks eating pizza while savoring their resourcefulness. The new bride serving bought fettuccine on her wedding china. Or this place, so strong in my memory, even as I made another memory, right now. All I could think was that here, finally, for once, I wasn't only watching and reporting, but part of this moving, changing world as well. I took my hand from Max, then reached up to touch his cheek. When I did, his fingers moved to my waist, pulling me in closer. It was fluid and easy, like everything had been since we'd met, as I stood on my tiptoes and finally, finally kissed him. There, in the woods, on a late fall Thursday afternoon, it was perfect. I'd had no way of knowing this when I did it, of course. It was just a hunch. Chapter 17.
Wait, so we can't use the studio?
No, you can, I said. It's just going to be a little more complicated than I thought. I was leaning against Mac in the truck, his arms around me so I couldn't see his face. When I twisted, he was giving me a look I already recognized. Wary, waiting. Classic Mac.
Complicated, he repeated. That sounds promising.
It's fine. I turned back around. Just trust me, okay? He didn't reply as I rested the back of my head against his chest, folding my legs up against me. The cab of his truck was cramped and smelled of garlic knots, hardly the ideal place to be together. But I'd learned not to even expect perfection in any form, and actually, this was pretty close.
It had been less than a week since the afternoon in the woods. Since then, one unbelievable thing had happened after another.